Well, g'day legends, Jeff Ross here, your caffeinated kangaroo bouncing in from the beautiful island of Tasmania, Australia. Proud dad of three cheeky boys who keep me busy and in desperate need of coffee. Welcome to the Laptop Lifestyle Dad Show, brought to you in partnership with the Los Angeles Tribune Podcast Network. This is the show where we're helping families, side hustlers, legends like you break free from overwhelm, mastering social selling and AI, and building businesses that give you more time for what matters most, your family and your freedom. Today, we've got a ripper episode lined up, so go grab your cuppa, get comfy, and let's dive in. So now let me introduce you to our guest, someone who's not just inspiring, but absolutely crushing it in the online business world. Lauren Tickner became a millionaire at just 23, has shared stages with Alex Hormozi and Gary Vee, and is also the founder of Scale Systems, where she helped over 1,800 entrepreneurs consistently generate premium clients using social media. Lauren's journey is in the health coaching world, of course, and if you've been following her story, you know that well, where she built her first business, Strength Feed, and scaled it to success with organic social media, and selling in DMs, direct messaging. But for those of us who are like many of us who just started out, she felt stuck, grinding hard, doubting herself, and wondering how to make it all work. What I love most about Lauren's story is that she's taken her Sucksville moments, those days where nothing seemed to work, and turned them around into a system that helps others to achieve their own work. Awesome Town Transformations is where she's playing now. Lauren, welcome to the Laptop Lifestyle Dad Show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you here, and the honour is all mine.
Oh, well, while I'm not a dad, I feel like we have a lot in common because I heard you say like caffeine, coffee, laptop, travel. I mean, you're speaking my language right now, AI, social selling. I'm here for it. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Absolutely brilliant. And I can't wait to actually geek out with you a little bit on this topic because it's one of my favourite topics. But Lauren, before we dive into... Sorry, what was that?
I said, you mean the topic of coffee?
Yes. Yeah. So Lauren, before we dive into any strategy, I'd like to take a back to the beginning. You know, can you just share your journey with us? What was life like in those Sucksville days, and how did you make it to Awesome Town?
Yeah, I'm very grateful because I realized in a young age that I just didn't want to be working in the corporate world. Like I was in asset management before. And it was just like, felt like my freedom was stripped away, right? And I feel like as humans, one of the innate drives that we want is just the ability to choose what we can do with our time. And it's like, I heard this story once, which was like, you know, a child was having to go to school every day and, you know, his parents were always telling him what to do. Like, you must be at school at this time and then you do this and that. And then one day he said, yeah, well, I don't want to do that. And they said, okay, you don't need to do it. And then the next day he woke up and did his normal routine. And he was at peace and happy doing it because he was doing it on his own terms. And yeah. I feel like that's just one of the things that I realized like very early on is I want to do things on my own terms. And so I was able to I spent years posting on social media without trying to monetize it to really figure out exactly how content works so that I could actually then eventually build a business from it. In the beginning, never really thought that it would become a business, but I got really good at like the getting attention piece of things. And then after that, I had to figure out like the business side of it, which, you know, to this day isn't like necessarily my favorite. I love the content and the social media piece. However, I think that, you know, it's a skill worth learning how to do so that you can obviously have a business that's on your own terms. So really for me, it was all about figuring out how to get social media to work, figuring out that you should sell people the thing that they want. And then from there, it's actually relatively simple, but I think we overcomplicate things because there's all these different strategies that are marketed to us all the time. Mm. But ultimately, it's about like, what is the demand in the market? And then how can you tap into that demand with a solution that people want? I mean, in the end, it's quite simple. And so I think I've been able to like distill things down that are quite seemingly complex into relatively simple steps, which has served me and my clients, pretty well.
Love that. So I'm a father of three amazing boys, as I said. I've got a 12-year-old, 11-year-old, and a 9-year-old, and they've all got that little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit starting to shine through. So for someone like yourself who was able to make it pretty early on at like 23, What's some advice that, you know, as a father with these amazing kids, what's some advice that you give to them to be able to help them to grow in that strength, to be able to step into today's world and really get up and run?
That's so cool. Yeah, when I was about 13, I was actually having a Tumblr blog, and I was actually had tons of followers.
I remember those.
On it, like thousands of followers. Yeah. I was always just hooked. And so I think one of the things that like my parents did really good that helped me a lot is like they really just let me kind of explore the things that I was curious about. And I was always really curious about like the internet and social media. And they didn't like restrict me from using it, but they did warn me, like, you know, there are obviously things on here that are, you know, not censored, et cetera, et cetera. You just have to be careful. But they always like encouraged me to like create on that, as in post content thing. But, you know, to actively be doing things rather than just like passively scrolling. And I think that was super helpful because like as I built, for example, this Tumblr blog, right, I wasn't really like telling anybody about what I was doing. But the ability to actually create connection with an audience was something that made me realize like, wow, there's literally the world at my fingertips. And I used to play these games, which were sort of like strategy games with my dad. And they were like real live games, right? Like you play it with other people online. And like looking back at that, I think it really like helped me gain confidence in the online world and understand that you literally can, you know, connect with and you know, learn from people miles and miles and miles away from you through online. So I think like exploring curiosity, in which like naturally is within the kid, is so, so powerful. And I think there's a lot of like negativity towards social media and things like that nowadays. But I think if you, you know, have strong values and if
that's
you have core internal lessons, like I think you're not going to do the wrong thing, right? I feel like a lot of people take the wrong path if they don't have strong values. And I think conversation as well with the parents is so key.
Yeah, well, yeah, here in Australia, they've just passed a law. It doesn't actually come into effect for about another 12 months, but they just passed a law where they're banning social media for kids under 16. And I don't know, I'm on the fence with this one, but I know when my 12-year-old, he's actually wanting to help me to, you know, do the editing for the podcast, you know, help me to publish it and really step in and own that and support this. And I'm all for that. Like, I reckon there's some valuable skills that to be able to teach him in that space. So, yeah. Bit of an interesting conversation that's unfolding with that one at the moment. We'll have to wait and see how it goes. But AI is also changing the game, not just for, you know, the world, but for especially for entrepreneurs, right? So love to hear how you're mastering it. How's AI impacted your journey? And what's some practical tips that you can share with our listeners on how to start using AI to simplify their social selling and help them to create more impactful content?
So in the end, all you really need is a few things, right? Like you need something to sell and some people to sell it to. Like if we really just distill it down. And I think that the complication comes when people take all these different strategies and think that they need to do it all. So like I've been able to scale my business to multiple seven figures, literally just with organic social media content, which drive leads into the DMs. And then I have some automations and AI in the DMs that then either set calls or make downsells, right? And so that literally, the longest time I was running like a multiple $1 million USD per year business just with that. And then in the last couple of years, I started adding like webinars, doing monthly live webinars, and also ads, right? And I started slowly adding in some ads. But to be honest, like the attribution is kind of like challenging when you have such a strong organic audience to be able to decide if the ads are like really doing anything meaningful. But what for sure like did help was like the webinar, like adding that conversion mechanism in there. But that was only after I kind of like squeezed the juice out of how much I can possibly do from organic content alone. And to be honest, I think I could still probably do more if I, you know, put out more video stuff, but I digress. Like at the end of the day, right, it's like, how can you get attention? How can you turn that attention into leads, AKA people that have a desire to make a buying decision from you? And then how can you turn those leads into sales, right? And so you really just need like one thing to do each thing, right? So to get attention, you could run ads, you could do JVs with people, you could have organic social media, you could go to networking events, you could go post in forums. Like there's so many different ways that you can do it. I chose organic social, right? So I like that because I like the fact that you build a personal brand. It comes with added benefits like this. I make a random post on Facebook, you know, and literally from that one post you responded to, I book 7 podcasts, like really great podcasts with people, right? So
yeah, it's cool.
The personal brand comes with added benefits. So I like content, okay? So if you know that you're going to put content out, okay? From there, what are you driving that content to make a conversion? Like, a lot of people make the mistake in their content, they sell in the content. But instead, there's like a series of steps that you have to reverse engineer from. So if you know that the goal is the sale and the starting point is the content, you don't go from content to sale, you reverse engineer. So right before the sale, what has to happen? Are you doing that on a sales call? If so, then you need to get that person to show up to the sales call. And to get them to show up to show the sales call, you need to get them to book the sales call. Mm. And in order to get them to book the sales call, you need to make sure that they're a qualified lead. So that means that they fill out an application or you have a conversation with them. So there's like some type of information gathering that goes on, whether it's on an application, DMs, wherever it happens to be. Even it could be a 15-minute call. And to get them to that, you have to have an offer that actually makes them want to go and apply to work with you or submit the information. And then in order for them to find that, they should be following you. And so then it really starts with having a content system that doesn't just drive people to buy something, because otherwise you're not going to have an audience to sell to if you're just always selling all the time. Instead, yeah. With the content, you have to you have to break it up into 3 different types of content. One type of content to get strangers to actually follow you, another type of content to get leads to raise their hand, and then a final type of content to get like direct offers to actually book a call straight away. And so I think a lot of people make the mistake. They, instead of all those little steps, they just try and put content that delivers value and no one really follows because they don't know why you're an expert. Or they just make offers all the time and then no one buys. So my main takeaway here is, well, like, it's actually not as challenging as you think. Mm. You just need to have a content strategy that segments your different people that you speak to so that you grow an audience, get leads and get clients. And make sure that you're doing like micro steps throughout the way rather than just trying to like directly sell. And then on that note, how am I using AI? Well, I'm using AI really just to do like 2 key things. Okay, number 1, to create the content. So this has been really exciting because we've served so many clients. I also have like an agency. And basically we were able to feed in more than 200,000 posts, like good performing wow. posts, right?
That's cool.
Yeah. And we actually identified like there was more than 150,000 of them were kind of just like mediocrely good. But then there was 64,000 of them that contained 17 psychological triggers, right? I can rip through all of them if you want me to.
Yeah,
but basically,
let's go.
What we were then able to do is take those 17 psychological triggers and train an AI to actually include those psychological triggers in the post template. So now whenever we work with a client, we can basically train the AI to speak like the client and also have the 17 psychological triggers embedded into it. Because there are a certain amount of triggers which are good for reach content and growing the audience. And then other triggers that are better to actually, for like the lead gen content, for example, like the intent trigger, right? You want to get leads that have high intent, not just curiosity. Whereas curiosity is better to grow the audience, etc. So we were able to use AI to train on that side of things. And then also like in the DMs, right? Like an AI stuffer has just saved so much time. I mean, this is only really valuable when you're getting hundreds of DMs every week. But nevertheless, it's really cool. And I think just like people who are not using it, it's like, why not? You know, it doesn't cost a lot of money. It's way cheaper than having a staff member. And you're able to make changes on the AI one time and just work on that thing rather than train people, It's so awesome.
And it's there 365 days a year. It doesn't get sick. It keeps showing up. I found a stat there. I've been following Jeffrey J. Hunter for a while, and he had a stat that came out that 91% of USA businesses want to be using AI. They know about AI, but they're not because they're overwhelmed. They're scared for it. They're procrastinating on it. And so like 91% of businesses, they know about AI, but still aren't using it. So we're still only seeing like the tip of the iceberg here. And it's exciting for me, I reckon, because, we're right in immersed in this and there's so many more people that we can help. And I love that. And the big thing that comes up though was because what's stopping them is just the simple overwhelm. And there is so much noise out there and there is so much confusion out there. So speaking to that, how would you, someone who's new to business, new to the AI space, What are some of the one tip that you would give them to empower them, to equip them to just dive in and start using AI?
So I'm kind of like one of these, like, for example, like, my fiance always makes this joke, like, I'm kind of like a boomer, right? Like, in my ways of doing things. So I actually was very slow on the AI train, so it felt, right? And so it's interesting because I just liked how I had already been doing things, you know? I had a good system, it was working, it was solid, but then I just said, okay, well, everyone's talking about, like, this ChatGPT thing, so I'll just go in there and type some stuff. And I said, like, write me a website. And I just, it was just like this mind-blown moment. Now, the copy obviously wasn't like insanely good, but it just shocked me about how incredible this is.
Yeah.
So there's a couple of things, right? Like, I think you have to get in there and just test it for yourself just to see that this is like insane. But the second thing is just, you know, if you didn't know how to do it, just hire someone, right? Like, I would honestly say you can hire really great people, like virtual assistants, that are trained on AI, who know how to use it, who can do different things in your business and set up different systems. And so, to be honest, like, if you're a business owner who has team members already, you should tell them to replace at least 5 of the projects that they're doing with AI and see what they come up with, right? And so I think that there's different ways to like ease yourself in. I had to personally like get somebody from my team to do some things for me using AI to actually really believe in. But yeah, like I would say, you know, you have to get in there for yourself and see it working to trust it, I'd say.
I love that. Cool. So switching gears, let's come back to DMs. I really want to unpack that with you. Most of our audience are affiliate and network marketers. And I know, you know, to hit the ground running in this space, it's a relationship building game. You need to get into DMs, you know, because the conversations are where the conversions happen. So what are some of the tips that you would have for people getting in the DMs to help them avoid being the direct pitch Peter or the spammy Tammy or, you know, that type of person? And what you said there before, like, to slow it down to, you know, with your content to help people go through those psychological triggers, to go through the journey. You know, I was mentored by Ryan Dice from digitalmarketer.com and, you know, he very much drummed in the whole customer value journey method to us. So, what are some of the tips you can help our listeners to really understand that DM sort of process to be able to go from a complete stranger to a sale?
So I would love to count how many sales I've actually made directly in the DMs, but I've sold 100K packages, 75K packages, 25K packages, 50K packages, 10K, 5K, even $27, like directly in the DMs.
Love that.
And the main thing that allowed me to do so was to keep a hit list. So what that means is when I have a prospect who has any level of intent, immediately I add them to a hit list. What that looks like is, for me, I send a screenshot to my assistant. She organizes it for me. In the beginning, though, what I would do is I'd grab their name, I'd put it on a spreadsheet, I'd add the tag in the CRM so that I keep on track of it if I was doing it by myself. And this concept of having a hit list has made me, I mean, definitely multiple 7 figures. I couldn't put an exact figure on it, but this is such an important thing when it comes to being successful with DM. Because what most people do is they'll have a conversation going and they'll be obsessing over the strategy and what do I say when they say this. But ultimately, if you keep them on a list and every day you go through that entire list and you use value added follow-up, which essentially means go back into the conversation and share something with them that will be useful to them based upon the problem that they already told you that they have or the thing that they had responded to you about.
Wow, that's powerful.
And they're going to love you, right?
Yeah,
so hit list is number one strategy. The rest of it, you know, obviously you want to find out their problem, find out what they're trying to do, how long have they been trying to do it, all the basic stuff, right? I have a framework, the perfect framework, whereby you want to find out their problem. That's for P. E is everyone involved. R is results. How do they define results? F is fit. Are they an ideal client avatar? Are they a fit for this thing? P-E-R-F-E. The next one is E for evidence. So have they seen some evidence that this can actually work for them? C is commitment. So like, what are they already doing to solve the problem? T is time. When are they actually looking to get a solution? Like, just tick off all those boxes in the DMs. Like, and then from there, obviously make them the offer, right? Like, I think otherwise people make offers too soon. But I mean, you know, the best way is with the hit list, because at the end of the day, right, like what I've identified, especially going into 2025, is that the old way of doing DMs, like back and forth forever, is not as effective as it used to be. Now, let me explain my hypothesis on this. And this doesn't come from like theory, but this comes from like practically analyzing, you know, I mean, how many thousands of conversations. Because I think previously in like 2020, people were just happy to chat back and forth. They had more time. Not as many people were selling stuff in the DMs. But like annoying people like me have kind of popularized the concept of like leveraging DMs to make sales, right? And so now DMs is kind of like flooded. And so if you say the same things as like what everybody else says, you know, what's your goal, right? Like it kind of just comes across as a bit salesy. So I prefer to be way more chill. And I'm just like having, you know, banter. I've even trained an AI on like how to have proper banter and stuff. And my team are trained on this too. But just be way chill and then keep them on a hit list. And then eventually, you know, if they have intent, they've expressed intent and you've put them on a hit list, like you're going to keep at them, right? And so then you're going to have a way to actually consistently, you know, drive sales. So I don't know, I hope that helps. But I really think that actually now my point was going to be this. Doing the perfect framework is actually better on a call, like just to come full circle on that. So I honestly try to just grab their phone number ASAP and then have somebody from my team showing them up ASAP. Yeah, I just find that it works better these days. Everything's super cool though. Like because this is like now, it doesn't mean that in 5 years' time it's going to change back. Everything's always cyclical, which is why you have to keep on top of the numbers and be willing to like test different things in any one time to see, is there a better way to do this? Like there is no perfect strategy. That's the thing. And that's where I think people get stuck.
I love your energy and you said you don't know who this helps. Well, it definitely helps this guy. That's for sure. So appreciate you. I'm sure it'll help our listeners. Look, you're delivering a lot of gold and a lot of wisdom here. And I just really appreciate you. People pay thousands of dollars for the information that you're sharing. And I just really want to get our listeners to recognize that. And you're being very generous of your time to be able to share what's working for you in the trenches today. I love that. So thank you for that. You know, getting into DMs, you know, doing the content, you know, showing up and shining and being consistent at it all, it can lead to burnout, you know, if you're not careful. So an entrepreneurial journey is a roller coaster ride, as we know. It's full of doubt, it could be full of overwhelm, it could be full of high moments and low moments. How do you push past these moments yourself, and what advice would you give to someone who's feeling stuck right now?
Yeah, I mean, like in the end, it's not really ever that big of a deal. You know what I mean? Like you always find a solution. And I think when you've just had enough challenges, you kind of just look back and think, well, if I was going through that challenge, quote unquote, of 4 years ago today, I would literally like laugh at myself, you know? So I think that in the moment, like in the micro, you can feel stressed, but I just try and tell myself, like, is this gonna matter in 5 years? Like literally, is it actually going to matter? And honestly, this is like a cue that I have in my mind now. Because I'm one of these people, like, I'm very type A. And to be honest, like, sometimes to my detriment, but in general, it's been, you know, mainly favorable to me because it's allowed me to, like, get stuff done. But because of that, the detriment that I'm referring to is, like, I can just rip through, like, work. Like, I can just rip through so many tasks and just get it done. And then in the end, I'm like, that day just flew by. Like, I don't even remember everything that I did just because I was, like, going there.
Yeah.
And like a lot of the tasks end up being redundant, you know, because I didn't even need to really do it if I'd have just waited a day. So I think just, you know, if you're feeling burnt out, like I think usually it's because you're doing something you don't like. At least for me, that's what I found. Like, and I'm not going to say I'm some like, you know, productivity guru or like burnout expert. Like I'm not, honestly, I'm not. And I think I probably work a lot more than a lot of people, but I like it. Like I don't define work as however some other people might see it. Like to me, work is the things that I don't like to do because it feels like
the chores.
It feels like a negative vibe. Yeah. So it's like, is this work? You know what I mean? Like we're talking technically, this is work, but it's not because I'm choosing to do this. Like no one's forcing me to come on this podcast with you. Like I chose to do this. You chose to do this and it's not work. Okay. If I'm on a call with a client who's paying me a lot of money, like, they're physically paying me $5,000 US for an hour of my time on a one-on-one. Is that work? No, it doesn't feel like work, even though they've paid me and I've committed to show up at that time and there's an exchange. That doesn't feel like work to me. What feels like work is this. Oh, when a client like when my sales team sells to the wrong person by mistake because they're new, and then we have a client come in and in the first week we realize it's not fit and they say, hey, can I speak to Lauren? And my sales rep is like over here on one side, like so happy they just made a nice commission check. And then I'm here on this other side, like, oh no, this is not a good fit client. And then I'm sat there in the middle trying to figure out what to do. And I get on a call with that client and the client is just complaining to me the whole time. Mm. That's for me at work. And then yeah. I have to, you know, message my team. Let's refund the money. Like, that's work, right? Like, there's a negative vibe attached to it. And yeah. I can't quite pinpoint exactly my lesson here. I'm still trying to figure this one out. But I really think that it's like the energy relating to the task at hand. Because yeah. I think if it's positive, it doesn't feel like work at all.
Yeah.
And so I hope that, that helps anyone. And then the question then becomes, it's like, well, if there's a series of things that feel like work to you, those are going to feel like play to somebody else, right? So how can you find those people
and that's just a great
them
point.
On a part-time basis? Yeah, because then you can actually delegate those tasks out. Like for me, I actually, there are so many things that I love, but there are also so many things that do feel like work. Accounting, bookkeeping, looking at P&Ls. I mean,
yep.
Dear God, this is not fun for me. So what do I bring great people around me in order to get those things done? And then I just feel like I get to have fun all the time, right? Which is kind of maybe like a bit of a glorified statement of, you know, things. But it isn't that hard to get there, honestly. Like, I think I pushed it off way too soon because you always hear people say, yeah, but like running a business takes hustle and grind and you're going to do things you hate, which is true. But you can do things you hate and then make a system and delegate that system, right?
Yes.
So that's how kind of become potential burnout.
I love that. And I'm very much the same myself. Like, when I find myself in that genius zone, in that heart space, I call it, and it's not work, it's fun, right? You know, I get up at 5 a.m. in the morning to talk to someone in America because I love it, you know, and it's in that servant-hearted leadership space. But like the thought of building a website or a funnel these days, I built thousands of them, but like that makes my skin crawl now, so I'll outsource that any day of the week. But yeah, I totally get it. Cool. Well, thank you very much for your time. So, as we wrap up, Lauren, what's one mindset shift or piece of advice that you'd like to give to someone who is stuck in Awesome Town? I'm sorry, stuck in Sucksville, dreamy of Awesome Town, but unsure of how to get there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I really do think that you can do a lot more than you would expect that you can if you get really clear on like who you actually care about helping. And so like when you have a mission that you genuinely care about, like, it's really cool because then the activities that you're doing don't feel like so transactional. They feel like you're working towards like a greater outcome. So for example, for me, right, I genuinely really care about helping people who are extremely good at what they do, but who maybe are like not getting enough attention online. And then losing out to people who are just kind of making content about something, but who don't actually have real world experience. Like, I genuinely care about helping those people. Because those are the types of people that have helped me so much, like, in my life. And so being able to support them and, like, help them, you know, build their content, personal brands, like, it's really, really cool. It's really fun. It's exciting, right? So, like, what is actually a mission that you care about? Like, maybe there's something, like, related. So, for example, like, my brother has epilepsy, yeah? And so I really care about causes relating to epilepsy, autism, etc. Like, learning difficulties. I know for sure I'm going to do something in that world in my future because I care about it. And despite the challenges that will come up along the way, like I'm driven to do things there. So for example, with you, like, it's really cool. I can tell how much you care about your kids, like, and also other dads just like you. You know, this is your mission, right? And so I once had this, when I was working in asset management, like, I had this woman who sat next to me who, like, she obviously hated her job. And I told her I was thinking about making this like fitness business. This is like almost 10 years ago now. And she said to me, well, Lauren, you should never mix your passion and your career because you'll begin to resent your passion. And I believed her, right? Just because she was older than me and more senior than me in the job. And looking back, I think that was one of the most stupidest pieces of advice anyone ever gave to me. Like, are you kidding me? If you mix your passion and your career, it's like the best thing ever. So that's what I would leave anyone with. It's like, what is that like, legitimate passion or interest that you actually love? You won't feel like you're working at all.
Yeah. Well, I think with technology has opened up so many doors with us these days, there really is no excuse to go find that thing that you love doing and go do it. Like, you know, our fathers back in the 1950s and 70s and all that sort of thing had to sacrifice their quality time from their families to go work because there was no other options.
100%.
But, you know, today, like with technology, like I'm working here from home. I've got three kids in the background. You know, beautiful wife's looking after them, of course, but I can work from home, be present, be the father that I wish my father was, and still provide an income for the family. And so that's what it's all about, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's so great.
Well, hey, thank you very much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure. So, yeah, I've got a dad joke for you before we wrap up. I did warn you before we do this, but I just want to see your reaction. It's all part of the brand. But why did the dad bring a ladder to the bar?
Ladder to the bar. Okay. Go on, tell me.
Because he heard the drinks were on the house. But I love it.
I actually love dad jokes. Like I have such a I literally have a boomer personality. I'm telling you, a sense of humor. Sorry, like memes, it's a big problem for me. Memes, like I just can't understand them, and then I can only understand memes that aren't really memes. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Love it. Well, Lauren, thank you very much for sharing your story, your wisdom, your incredible energy with us today. For anybody who wants to connect with you and learn a bit more about Scale Systems and what you do, where's the best place for our listeners to find you? How can they connect with you?
Yeah. Whatever social media you like, it's just my name, Lauren Tickner, LaurenTickner. You'll be able to find some stuff about how to create good social media content. And yeah, let me know that you listen to this. I would love to connect.
Appreciate you. Thank you very much for your time. And legends, if you've been inspired by Lauren's story, here's what you need to do. Go share this episode with a mate who needs to hear it. Subscribe so you never miss another amazing guest like Lauren. And drop a comment or DM me. What's one thing that you've taken away from Lauren's journey today? Here's your challenge. Take one tip that Lauren has shared with us. Whether it's about using AI, building social media funnels, or shifting your mindset, and then start applying it this week, right away. Remember, Sucksville isn't permanent. It's just a pit stop on the way to Awesome Town. Hey, Lauren, thank you very much for being an amazing guest on this show. Thank you for our listeners for tuning into the Laptop Lifestyle Dad Show, brought to you by the Los Angeles Tribune. Stay caffeinated, stay inspired, and let's keep building businesses that work for you. And catch you next time, legends. Thanks for your time.